Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable Cars and Coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Happy birthday to me,
Ferriston.
Happy birthday to me,
Ferriston.
I've chosen it to spend with all of you, Johnny Zuckerman, and the rest of the Spike's Car Radio gang. Happy birthday to me.
Hey.
And many more.
Hello, everybody.
You're so fucking old.
Here we are. I am. I feel old. And
I hate your birthday.
Yes, because your birthday is right after.
Right. So right. It already ruins you. Your birthday sounds the last chapter of me being 56. I will soon be 57 like you.
It's all, my birthday is all about you, isn't it, Zuckerman?
It's
all
that your
tells
fault,
us about
man.
You.
You guys are old. I had no idea. Jesus.
You had no idea we were old?
Not that old. That's old. 57 sounds old.
It is old. It doesn't just sound old. It is old.
Let me give you a point of reference, Lieberman. I had sex in the 70s. Okay? Understand that.
That's weird.
That would have been. That makes
I'm trying
me,
to do the math there. So that
math.
Was 10.
That would be like someone when I was a young man saying, I had sex in the 20s. The flappers. 20s.
Yeah. Dana Carvey does a great joke.
I invented sex.
Dana Carvey does a joke about I'm having sex with a 50-year-old woman about his wife. He goes, I'm 61, but can you believe I'm having sex with a 50-year-old woman? It's something like that. I'm not doing the joke service. Anyway, good to see you all. I'm happy to be here. My family said, what do you want to do on your birthday? And I said, I'd like to spend it with people I like and who like me. So here I am.
Yeah, fuck them.
Just kidding. No, we had a nice little breakfast this morning, and I got a new tennis racket, a Babolat. I'm very into tennis these last, you know what, whatever your kids are doing, you're doing. And I gave up tennis when I was 14 years old, and I am back, baby.
You gave it up for weed.
And I took my old racket in to get it restrung, and the ladies laughed me out of the tennis store. They said, you need something new, sir.
A wood racket. I had an Arthur Ashe wood racket.
It was a wooden Rod Laver. I said, but I bought this at Sears in 1968 when Zuckerman was having sex.
I took my kid bowling for the very first time today. So.
Yeah, but it's not your birthday.
It's not your birthday.
It's not your birthday, so be quiet.
Got a tennis racket.
You should be on bowling league.
But not just that, you know, and my wife's like, what do you really want? I go, you know what? You just have the kids write me a nice card, and she got some delicious desserts from our little neighborhood shop that you guys are eating, some banana puddings and other things to bring to the podcast. But our Spike's Car Radio friends take such good care of me. Peter Nahm. Sent up the Gunther Works car, Greenwich, with a new suspension, which is awesome. We'll talk about it in a second.
That old thing.
Look at this.
Say.
My friends at Chronic Caliber sent me the white gold Submariner with the beautiful blue Cerachrome bezel on it.
How's the weight?
A $50,000 value.
Is it weighty?
It's really heavy, but it's gorgeous, right?
Excuse me, I want to make a call and have some guys waiting out the door for later. Mug you.
Isn't this a great watch? Anyway, thank you, Jonathan at Chronic Caliber, for sending that up.
That's nice.
And that's it. I'm happy. I got cigars. And with you guys, here we are again. Last week, we had Seinfeld on the show. No offense, Johnny.
I was out of town, bro.
You know, some of the listeners... They go, look, is Johnny out? Is Matt Farr out? It's like baseball, everybody. And it's really like baseball. I'm probably the only player who's going to be in all the games. And everybody else has lives and they're busy. And I'm always at the last minute trying to round people up. And I generally try to get three. Whoever I can get to do three. And so when you see the different crews roaming, and maybe when you're doing when I'm doing this movie with Jerry, you might see somebody else hosting the show. When you see that happening, just know it's the SCR team. At some point, we're going to take Spike's Car Radio out of it, and we're just going to call it the SCR show. It'll be more of a co-op, maybe. But it's the SCR. You don't have to write, is Johnny out? Is Matt out? Is Jerry gone? Everybody's in.
Johnny's out all the time, but he manages to worm his way back in. If you say a team, and I was on the disabled list, I really have to take exception that you had, you came here one day after surgery imposed upon
with
me.
Jerry, last with
Jerry.
With
Jerry, and you imposed upon me to host you guys while I was crippled.
Well, we were so excited about that. But to that point, we talked about Morgans and buying Morgans. I don't think Jerry has pulled the trigger on that car yet.
We'll get him to.
I think Jerry was measuring drapes. I mean, last time I saw him, all he talked about was his house.
Yeah, yeah. He loves this place. We got some of the stuff wrong. We mentioned the fella who's driving down my street every day in his Morgan. And Jerry said that's John Burnham, ICM agent. Well, John Burnham, ICM agent, was lighting me up Thursday morning from a variety of different angles. I need to talk to you. I've got a funny story. I need to talk to you. I've got a funny story. Turns out he's not the guy in the neighborhood, but he is the guy who let Jerry drive his Morgan.
30 years ago.
1991.
That's 30.
Jerry came to his house. It was set up by another car dealer and said, he was very gracious, apparently, said to John, are you sure you want to let me drive the car? He said, yes. He said, okay. He goes, where are you going to take it? He goes, I'm going to take it to Hugo's in West Hollywood for breakfast. John said, I don't think you should do that. You're going to hate the car. You should probably go in the other direction, go out the PCH, go out to Malibu. And he said, nope, I'm taking it out for breakfast. And took off, came back after breakfast a few hours later, and said, you're right. This is a piece of shit. Handed him the keys back. John laughed. But what was interesting to me and Zuckerman when I called him was that Jerry has been, for 30 years, wrestling with the same question, should I or should I not buy a Morgan?
His existential question, the meaning of life to Jerry Seinfeld, should he buy a Morgan?
And here's what I had told him right before then. I said the ownership experience of a Morgan is, should I or should I not keep this? Yeah. You'll never not be in that zone, but you just have to get comfortable with that idea that it's not quite perfect, but it is fun.
I've driven 3 Morgans. 2 of them broke down while I was driving them. So.
Older ones or current ones?
Oh, brand new. They were all brand new. Yeah. One was from a dealer, and I was with the dealer when it broke.
That blue one?
I don't remember what color it was, honestly. We had another one that was painted like a Spitfire, didn't break. And then I drove Alex Roy's, and it broke.
So. Did you ever drive a vintage
one? Yeah, that's a three-wheeler.
Yeah, those are three-wheelers. Yeah, they're all three-wheelers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. These are three-wheelers.
I've driven four-wheelers. They didn't break.
They're super fun. As we, you know, mentioned on the show, we were putting our hands flat on the street at every red light. Yeah. You know, you're that low.
Yeah.
If you know, your impact, side impact is you.
It's
just going to be you. Those little saloon doors don't do
your head.
How do they get away with that, Zuckerman? Like, you know, you're a personal injury lawyer. How does Morgan get away with a design like that?
Because of their volume, they get some sort of waiver from regular NHTSA requirements.
Yeah,
would you say so?
I forget what it's called exactly, but it's like small volume manufacturer. If you sell less than 1,000 units a year in the U.S., you don't have to meet crash safety. But I mean, how do motorcycles get away with it? You know, it's
Jesus, would you not? Hey, it's blow my
birthday,
that in
my man. It's
face.
My birthday.
Ash on his car.
You know what I want for my birthday? I want you to shut up and let me smoke and enjoy my cigar.
Blow
for
in
once.
My face.
Now that you're all fixed up,
I
let
could
us
leap
smoke.
Across, flying kick to your head for your birthday.
Anyway,
it's good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to be back. The Gunther, I'm not going to go back and review it, but and we're going to have Peter Nam on again. Apparently, they have a couple year wait for these things. I don't know who I was just talking to. It was like, oh, you've got that thing? He goes, I really want one. Oh, someone down at Santa Monica Airport in a hangar near me. He said, he goes, yeah, but there's a couple year wait. He's doing really well with the car, and they have this new suspension in it that comes with a little iPhone and or Android phone. I'm not sure what it is, but it was in the ashtray. And it's just got, on its front screen, it's got Sport, Sport Plus, and Comfort. And it makes the car streetable.
Okay.
Still very bumpy and very, you know, it communicates a lot of information from the road. So, you know, you got a little groove in the street, you're going to feel it in the steering. So it's still a wicked race car, but a hell of a lot of fun. I just drove it in traffic, and it was a totally different beast.
Is it noticeably like different than the last time you drove it?
Softer by about 50%.
Oh, wow.
But it's not.
That's still the stiffest car in the world.
It's not a 911. Yeah, it's still the stiffest car in the world.
Yeah.
But this time I had the windows up, I had the AC on, and I had the music playing. I could actually hear it. And then, you know, when people annoyed me, I popped on the exhaust and had a little fun.
Nice.
And it's a fun car. They're really a fun, you know, alternative to Singer, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
I have to say, I kind of enjoy this car more than the Singers I've driven.
Yeah. I've never driven a Singer, but I mean, I just know from like lap times, this is way, way more athletic.
That's what it feels like. It feels like you've got a race car, but it's not going to get away from you.
Yeah, and I was at Pebble, and they had the new Speedster there, which is, you know, it's a drop top version essentially. Pretty cool, looking.
Did you drive it?
No, it was just sitting on the lawn. I will drive it. I've talked to Peter about it. I think I might actually get to be the first one to drive it, which is cool. But yeah, it looks good.
I thought it looked great. Yeah. I thought it looked fun. I'm really enjoying these kind of new kinds of cars. I think, Giacomo, it was the Zagato that really kind of opened my mind up to these new small number builds and interesting cars. And you and I and Jerry, and maybe Jerry still does, but we used to always kind of turn our nose up to that stuff, yep. Right? And now outlaw stuff and these new builds I find really fun and different and interesting.
Well, I'd love to get that now that my back is fixed. And I can endure the Gunther Work suspension. I'd like to get that car for a day or two.
Yeah.
Do you have any fentanyl left? It's my birthday. You know, how many do you want?
By the way, I've got a bunch of pills left over for anybody who wants them.
Don't now. Speaking of pills, you can't hand them back. This is big news.
Big news.
This is really big news.
I'm sitting down.
And we mentioned it last week. Our first sponsor, Blue Chew, is back. Thanks to you, Zuckerman, bringing it up. Thanks to our listeners who have been papering it all over every Blue Chew post from Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thanks to our constant joking, but really, thanks to Audio Boom, who hosts us, who actually, you know, heard us talking about it and said, you want us to reach out? I said, go ahead and try. Like, I still don't know if they want us back. But we're back. Okay. And I know we promised you, the listeners, that we would take Blue Chew on the air here. We can't today because I just ordered the pills. and they didn't come yet. I don't have them. So we can't take them. And also, I can't hand them out or give them to Zuckerman. These guys have already signed up. They're going to get their own. So I'm just going to do a straight ad. We're happy to have Blue Chew back. They gave a long list to Zuckerman. Of the do-nots, the do-nots. And I would love to read you. Johnny wants me to read them because he thinks it would be great. We would lose Blue Chew in a second.
Done.
And it would be really funny. But we don't want to lose Blue Chew. What we want is you guys to really engage with Blue Chew. Even if you don't order, I mean, you know, I used our code. I had to get on. You press a button and suddenly a girl appears and she's a nurse. I know. She's like, all right, any other issues here? My issue, only medical issue, was my name. She goes, are you Michael or are you Spike? And I go, I'm both. She goes, okay. And she goes, no other medication, no other problems. I'm like, no, it's cool. She goes, all right, you're good. She goes, you're the podcast. So I go, yeah. And that was it. But it was kind of fun to talk to a girl about this Blue Chew.
You're finally secure enough at 57. I didn't go into
what I was going to use it. It was just, you know, like when you shop for lingerie, you go into the store, there's usually a friendly lady there. And you go, oh, this isn't as scary as it seems.
And then you ask for your size. And then she's scared.
Yeah. You have to write a book of uncle jokes, Zuckerman. That would be good to have. Anyway, let's do the Blue Chew ad, and let's welcome them back into the Blue Chew family. And let's see how long we can make it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know if they want us to take Blue Chew. But let's start off and be good, all right? Fall is here, and we could all use a stiff breeze. That's right. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew, Zuckerman. Guys, the confidence can take you far in life. It can also help you in the bedroom, especially when it comes to step up to the plate time. That's where Blue Chew comes in. Zuckerman, remember the list of do-nots? Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable tablet, so it's not a bubble gum at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity rises. Don't do that.
I'm going to have to ball gag him with the microphone.
Please stop. The process is simple. Sign up, and I did this. Sign up at Blue Chew. You go online. You're done in about like a minute. Consult with one of the licensed medical providers. This really nice young woman that we had a nice chat about. You get approved right away. You're going to use this code, so I think it's free, actually. I ordered six pills or four pills, and it was free. I didn't have to pay anything.
Really?
With this Spike, yeah, Spike 911 code. Blue Chew tablets are made in the U.S. and prepared and shipped directly to your door in a discreet package. I will let you know if that happens. I will tell you, my wife was like, what are you doing? And she got very upset. You know that wife pride? You don't need that. And I go, well, what
if yes, I do.
What if I want that? But it, she doesn't like anything that where I show my age. Like, you know, after 2 hours of tennis the other day, I couldn't walk. My heels hurt. And she goes, you're not stiff, are you? Are you stiff?
Really?
You're not going to be stiff, are you?
Not till I take
well,
the blue
she's 10 tube. Years younger than me. And, you know, that used to be cool. And now she's on old man watch, right?
Oh,
she's on old.
The
man
worm
watch.
Turns.
I love it though; it's the greatest. This was a calculated move
on your part. Of
yes,
course.
Yes, of course. She's 10 years younger, more energy. Take care of the kids. Take care of me. Clip my toenails. Insert my blue chew in a straw and blow it into my mouth. It's going to be wonderful. Anyway,
put it in your oatmeal,
guys. Here's what we've decided to do, and we did talk a lot about this before the show. How we treat Blue Chew, and we want to be nice to Blue Chew. We want to help Blue Chew.
We want to keep them. We
and
like
we think
them
the
back.
Best, yeah, the best way is for you guys to all reach help. Out to Blue Chew right now. unless you have any issues where you can't, but try Blue Chew for free right now. And what you do is you go to bluechew.com and you do your order, and then you can put in the promo code Spike911. I know you guys have been DMing me about the various other sponsors of ours. Sometimes there's an address line you put in with a /Spike911. It goes to a special site just for us. I've done that because I got Jerry the Manscaped.
Oh, yeah?
Lawnmower 4.0. And it was cool. They had a Spike's Car Radio page. I was digging it. But this is bluechew.com. Place in your order for your little six Blue Chews and use the promo code Spike911. It's free. And welcome back, Blue Chew.
Blue Chew!
Yeah!
And great job, Zuckerman.
Thank you. Thank you, Lieberman.
This is no exaggeration. The do not list for Zuckerman was two pages. Yeah. A full page longer than the ad.
If we ever go to a video podcast, though, when he was pantomiming, we'd be in prison.
All right. It's time to play What Was Johnny Driving? Oh. I just want to ask you about a car. I don't even want to leave it up to chance.
Yes.
You were in the new Lucid. And as you know, I am very excited about our collective electric future. And I want to know everything about this car.
Yeah, this is the one to get excited about, in my opinion. So, I drove something called the Lucid Air Dream Edition R. R stands for range. So, it only has 933 horsepower.
Only.
But the range is, they haven't announced the EPA thing yet, but it could, based on what I saw, it could go 517 miles. So, we had two of them. I drove one, and I drove the way I drive, which is like, you know, fast acceleration and all that. But we drove Beverly Hills to San Francisco, 409 miles. We went to that watch shop, HQ Milton, looked at some cool watches because the CEO is a big watch geek. He was in the other car.
HQ Milton, I know those guys.
Yeah,
they're great.
Yeah, super cool. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I like those guys.
We saw a Platona, which I'm so in love with. Sadly, it costs as much as the Lucid Air Dream Edition.
Sadly, that watch was about 50 grand a couple years ago.
It's about $150.
Yeah, it's nuts.
It's insane. Then we drove 36 miles from there to Lucid HQ down in Silicon Valley. My car had 30 miles of range left, so that's 445 miles. I could have gone another 30 the way I was driving. He had 72 miles of range left on his, so it's 517. And again, it's a 933 horsepower car. It's super luxurious on the inside, unlike a Tesla. I always think Teslas, they don't even have interiors. They just have, like, you know,
it's seats. Tesla is modern. It's a modern Spartan interior.
That's an interpretation of it.
No, that's really what it is. It's like modern
it's
architecture.
It's kind of like a giant TV screen and nothing else. But
I appreciate that about that car. I like there's no static, but it's not luxury, is what you're saying, and that's definitely true. This feels like what?
Very luxe. It's just
like a Mercedes or something.
No,
or?
Better. No, I don't say better. It's Californian. So the guy, Derek. God, I'm gonna get his name wrong. Jenkins, I want to say.
Did he work for Tesla originally?
No, he worked for Mazda. But you see him at the car show that doesn't happen in Malibu. He's got that carbon fiber.
There's no car
buggy.
Show. Do not come at 10 o'clock on Sundays.
You know that carbon fiber Myers Manx thing?
Oh, that's him.
Yeah, it's him. Derek PCH on Instagram.
He designed the Lucid?
Yeah.
That's Lucid guy.
Yeah, it's Lucid guy, yeah. And so the interiors, there's five different choices, and it's like there's Malibu, and the idea is it's like the light in December at 5 p.m. in Malibu, right? And then he has like a redwood, and it's like five different spots in California. And the other cool thing is it's like he's, you know, they were looking at like jets, private jets. So like, you know, you get into a private jet, the cockpit's dark, and the passenger compartment's light and airy. So all the fronts are darker than the rear. So the rears are big, and because they're airy, or because they're lighter color, they feel airier. Leather, Alcantara, nice piping, nice stitching. There's actually linen, has this cool fabric stuff all over it.
What kind of money are we talking about here?
For the Dream Editions, I should say, I drove the R, so there's two. There's the R and the P for performance. They're the same price. You pick, do you want range or performance? It's $170,000, every option. But the performance one, the range goes down from 5-something to like 450, 465. The horsepower goes up to 1,111. And and it still has way more range than like any Tesla. And
how do you use that horsepower in a car like that?
Well, I went up to Angeles Crest with him. First of all, this guy used to be the chief engineer of Lotus, and mofo can drive. And it just felt like a GTR. It was insane. I was shocked, actually, by how well it handled. Actually kind of shocked by it. Like, way better than a Taycan. And with 200 more horsepower than the Taycan Turbo S and double or more the range. More than double.
So you're saying this is a game changer.
Well, it is.
Well, that was going to be my question. Where are they making it, and
Arizona.
How many are they making?
Well, you know, who knows? They're starting out with, like, 500 or so of these things. And then quickly they're going to follow it up with like an 800 horsepower version. There will be a $70,000 version that has one motor, 400 horsepower.
But can they mass produce?
Yeah, they have a huge factory in Arizona. They're having a tour of it.
So
next
you
week.
Think they can compete with Tesla?
Yeah, that's their plan. I should mention Peter Rawlinson was the chief engineer of the Model S. So the CEO of Lucid was the guy who designed the first Tesla, and he left. And 8 years ago, he joined this company, and this is what they've been working on. And I was blown away by it. I was just like, wow. And because, again, more range than a Tesla, more power than a Tesla, way more performance, plus a really nice interior. And because the big difference, it's kind of nerdy, but they miniaturized all the components. So, like, a Tesla drive motor, it weighs 300 pounds and is the size of a Tom, you know, from a drum set, and makes 400 horsepower. A Lucid one weighs less than half that, makes 670 horsepower, and is like tiny. So, because
what is the overall weight of this thing, and how does it compare
heavy.
To a Taycan?
About the same, but it might be like 100 pounds heavier. Just it has a bigger battery. It's like, it has 113 kilowatt hour pack instead of a Taycan's like 90 or whatever. But it's just way more efficient, and because the parts are miniaturized, there's way more interior room. There's way more trunk space. It's just literally massive. Inside.
What are the anticipated gremlins?
I don't know.
You know what's exciting about this, Johnny? It's amazing to hear you. And I saw a lot of your media on Instagram, and I got really excited about it. And it's, you know, it just dawned on me when you were reviewing this car that there's this whole new, you know, like Jerry is saying, this silo. He used the word
That's
the other
day.
Zuckerman, what are you doing?
I'm not taking a picture of you.
What are you doing?
I'm not taking a picture of you.
I know, but I'm trying
you.
To talk, and you're waving a phone in my face. What?
Shut up and talk.
God damn it.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
What are you
doing? It was a nice picture, Ferris.
Of you?
Not of you, but of me.
Of what?
Of that. Out there, LA.
We're podcasting.
God, you're like my mother.
I just know I can get away with it on my birthday, so I'm yelling at him. Anyway, what that post got me excited about was this whole new, like, world of cars. And like, this feels like the second one. Like, there's the Tesla really planted its flag and is now taking off. And now there's this Lucid. And we're at the beginning of this gigantic assortment
of
cars.
One door is closing, another one's opening.
But, but doesn't it feel like that? Doesn't it feel like, again, like we were all on horses a minute ago, and now there's another motorized car coming along, and we're talking about it.
Can I break a little news?
Sure. What do you got?
So, you remember I was on that top secret thing I couldn't talk about?
Mm-hmm. No.
Love you too. Take us back. Reset it up so we know.
I was out of town. You're like, where are you? I said, it's top secret. I can't tell you. And you said, why not? I said, I signed NDAs.
And did you mention it on the show?
I don't think you did. It was a top secret.
Right. And you still haven't told us.
I'm going to tell you now.
You can.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit because the show is going to
spit it out.
It's going to go live an hour before our story. I drove the Rivian.
Wow.
Yeah. So the Rivian, it's called the they have bad names. R1T.
Yeah.
So it's the R1T. So this is this Rivian pickup truck, electric. Four motors, 835 horsepower. It's got a giant frunk again. It's got a pass-through compartment behind the seats, so you can put like golf clubs or a surfboard or whatever. It's got a bed, air suspension, so it can go from like very low for aerodynamics. It can go 15 inches in the air for rock crawling, and unbelievably good. And it headquartered here in Orange County. So the whole like, you know, fulcrum of the car industry is swinging to California now.
Yeah.
Tesla, Lucid, Rivian, made in Illinois.
Texas and Arizona, though, too, right?
Well, I mean, the factories, but I mean, the brains are in California. They put the factories.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So is this the first electric pickup truck that makes it to the market? Yeah. The Cybertruck, surprisingly, was just delayed.
Delayed again.
The Roadster, just delayed.
Yeah.
The Lightning's not out yet,
the
right?
The Lightning's about 10 months away.
And when does this Rivian come out?
I think it went on sale yesterday.
Oh, it did?
I think it did, yeah.
So why are you embargoed?
Because we did something really cool, which I'm still not talking about. But go to Motor Trend right now if you're hearing this.
Okay,
and you'll see what we did, and it's amazing. Like, and here, you guys I know don't off road, but if you do off road,
I do off road.
Okay, so when you're off roading with a gasoline powered car,
I'm looking at the giant.
It's what I want for my birthday is for you to stop.
The giant plumes of smoke. We're talking about eco-friendly vehicles, and these guys are like old robber barons.
That's a valid point.
Belching out
that's a valid
clouds
point,
of smoke into my face, and you should know that nicotine
you are 10
is
feet away
bad.
From us.
Nicotine is bad for bone, for healing bones. Post-surgery, you're killing me.
You had your bones cut?
Yes.
Penis lengthening is what he meant to say. Anyway.
Here, let me show you.
So if you're rock crawling with a gasoline
I'm hit you with my bat.
That's what he was
saying. Let me take my pole. I'm going to take out my pole and beat you to the ground with it.
Your pole?
I'm going to stuff my
this
pole.
Is exactly
up
what
ass.
Rivian wants.
Rivian. It's exactly what they want. But
So you're off-roading in a gasoline-powered vehicle, right? You know, torque comes in at like 2,000 RPM. So you got to floor it a little bit, and then the car starts going. So then you got to hit the brake. So it's a lot of two-pedal nonsense. With this, you know, electric vehicles, max torque is right when you touch the pedal. It's zero. So it's like it just off-road so gracefully. It was shocking. It was just like, oh, my God. It's like this elegant off-roading and super capable, really clever programming. Just
what's the range on this guy?
There's a 300, and they just announced today, 314 miles for the one, and you can get the long range, which is, they haven't announced it, but it'll be over 400 miles.
What's the plan with both these brands, with these charging networks? Because I, you know, at first I thought, well, what does it matter? I can charge my Tesla at the house. But now I'm way into these Tesla superchargers when I bump into them. They you know, you plug the damn thing in, you get a cup of coffee, you get 100 miles, and then you're back home.
Okay, so I talked to Peter.
It's an intoxicating experience.
Two answers. So I talked to Peter from Lucid about this, and he said, yeah, look, he says the smartest thing Tesla did was the supercharger network. That said, when they delayed the Roadster and the Cybertruck, Musk also said they're going to open up the supercharger network to other people.
They're
going to
be taking federal money for that.
Sure.
I mean, the federal government is interested in there being a supercharging network all over the country, and if you want to be part of that, like Tesla, you got to be let everyone in.
Yeah, they're making money. Yeah. And then there's also Electrify America and a couple others that have like level 3 chargers. But here's the thing. So, and this will interest you, Spike. So, a Tesla has a 400-volt electrical architecture. Now, I don't know what that means either, but the Lucid has a 924-volt architecture. So, you can put 300 miles of charge on it in 20 minutes.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and it's also, it's a 500-mile tank. So, like, you're not really charging that much because 500 miles is, like, double what a gas car does. You know, it's a long range. And then what Rivian's doing is, you know, home chargers and all that. But they're installing chargers off-road everywhere. So, like, you'll go.
Oh, that's interesting.
They're putting them all over Tennessee right now. So you'll, be in the forest.
What's this?
No, Tennessee tuxedo. There's a penguin.
Can I smoke meth out of this? Sorry, Tennessee. I love you.
But again, it's a pickup truck.
Should I put this in my ass? Hey, check this out.
It's a pickup
truck. Tennessee, I'm so sorry.
0 to 60 in 3 seconds, they're claiming. We haven't tested it yet. But we did drag race it. We had a Ram. My long term was a Ram TRX, 702 horsepower, right? We drag raced it, and the Rivian literally annihilated the poor Ram.
Really?
Which is, the Ram is the fastest pickup truck Motor Trend's ever tested. And this
only way they can compete is to get the price of gas down again.
That won't happen, though. Opposite's happening.
And I drive by this expensive gas, and I laugh. And
$5 a gallon.
I don't want to disappoint everybody listening, but there are many times now where I'm in my Defender, and I want to be in my wife's truck, and she won't let me take the Y. She won't let me take that Model Y. It's not truck, but she won't let me take the Y. And I feel like, you know what I mean? It's interesting that this stuff takes hold, and then it changes.
Once they conquer range anxiety, once you have that range dependability, then it outweighs the convenience of gas.
And again, remember, I drove 445. I did it. Me. I drove 445 miles, and there was still 30 miles left.
And you were
left.
Leadfoot.
Yeah. Well, we drove up. We said, hey, in the 70, we'll go 72. I would have driven faster if it was just me by myself, but I had the CEO behind me saying, please go at a reasonable speed. But again, you know, you still have 30 miles left after driving 445 miles. So it's
amazing.
There is no more range.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. You know, I was on Mehdi Hasan's show on MSNBC talking about electric vehicles or Peacock Network. I don't know why. I like him, but it was just about if I thought, you know, what's it going to take for America to start buying electric cars? So I actually was kind of qualified to talk about that because I had just gone through the experience myself and I'm in the middle of it. But, you know, it's such an interesting area of the car world right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, for so long, I just turned my nose up to that as well and just went, oh, whatever, and build issues. And now I'm in that weird other place of forgiving the problems with the company because I like
them.
Where
are we right now in terms of electric cars? We're a good 20 years in now?
I mean, not really. Tesla was really the first one, like really where, you know, you could go buy one. So we're about 9 years in.
Right.
And you know, the Model S is still there, but they've been very successful with the Model 3 and the Model Y. Especially the Model Y, I think that's their best product.
What happens, though, when, like, you know, New Orleans, Louisiana this week, where they've had a disaster and they don't have electricity?
You can't pump gas without electricity. I mean, you know.
But seriously, is there a consideration? How do you charge your car when the grid goes down?
I mean,
even in California here, we have an earthquake. We're going to lose electricity for 2 or 3 weeks at least, right?
Yeah.
A big one. So what do you do?
Well, I mean, both Tesla and Lucid's going to start doing this. You know, they're selling those home power stations or whatever. Hmm. And if you have solar panels, you can store up juice.
See, I like all that stuff.
Yeah, it's cool.
You sit here, you know, and Zuckerman, you know, when you get that electric bill every month and it just keeps going up higher and higher in the water. You go, what's going on here? And you know, they got their hands in your pocket. These things, you're able to bypass them. That's what I love so much about the Tesla.
I got solar panels. It's the
greatest. It's good.
The best.
It's a bright future.
I make $5 a month, but free electricity. It's
but great. You know what? On the weekends, I still like to drive loud things. And that's why you need to go to Collecting Cars. You know, CollectingCars.com has bought our show for the entire year. They're our biggest sponsor right now. Chris Harris, his old crew, they love us. And we love them. They're right on the nose for a sponsor for us, CollectingCars.com. You got to go to their site. You got to sign up for their daily email. And, you know, instead of bothering me, Johnny, and Zuckerman for where do I find this, where do I find that, you go to CollectingCars.com and you find stuff. They just sold, I think I mentioned this last week, a 918 Spyder for $1.4 million dollars. They have a global audience. And this was a great car, 4,000 miles, Vysock package, that liquid metal silver paint.
Ooh, 60,
which I want to talk to you,
paint.
Zuckerman, about our GT3 Touring. Remind me that. They also, I think, have right now up live for bids a 993 Carrera 4S, which has, Zuckerman, look at this, 1,126 miles.
Oh, that's a win.
Yeah, the 993 C4S, so that would be a 98, right?
The year, what color?
Oh, it's a 97. I'm looking, miles from new, last air-cooled generation 911, extremely popular modern classic, unrepeatable mileage, true. speed yellow.
Ah.
And recently detailed by Larry Casilla at Ammo New York City.
What is the interior?
And there's a video on the YouTube channel, the Collecting Cars YouTube channel. You got to go. That's live right now. What did you say?
What's the interior?
It's on the YouTube channel.
It would be black, right? If
one
it's anything but black.
One would think.
Then it might not be what you're looking for, but I do like speed yellow.
I like speed yellow. There's a world in which that works.
That auction's live. Go check it out after you go to Motor Trend. Why do you sell your cars anywhere else? No ordinary auctions, no ordinary cars. CollectingCars.com. Hello to Chris Harris and hello to Larry Casilla. Last seen eating oysters on the Smoking Tires Instagram feed.
That's right.
One of the weirdest posts I've ever seen.
That was a weird one.
Here's Larry Casilla going to the bathroom.
No, he never had an
with
oyster.
Oysters coming out of his ass.
I was looking at that. And we love Matt Farah, of course. But I was like, God, those guys are going to restaurants and sitting in them without masks right now here. Is that really a good idea? With the new Moo variant and all that other crap happening?
But he had never eaten an oyster, so they had him eating his
so
first
he's an
oyster.
Adult man in the time of COVID having a dodgy bivalve, which will give him diarrhea.
But it was funny to watch because, you know, when you're over the age of whatever, eating an oyster, it was pretty funny.
You know, the... I have to really out myself for some really idiot car stupidity. I know you'll enjoy this, but, you know, I want to be truthful with everybody, and I have to own my mistakes. As we spoke about the car storm of problems, right, from Defenders to Teslas to your GT2 RS that I was going to borrow that didn't start, that had me in a state of mind where I was just seeing problems everywhere, and I got into the 83. And I drove it from Zuckerman's hangar to Santa Monica Airport to meet Jerry. And I was playing with the mirrors and the damn thing died, right? I thought it was an electrical problem. I managed to drive the car back by holding the starter
grinding it down the street and getting
enough speed to glide it.
Oh.
Things are monsters, by the way. Just for a little while.
Hearing that gives me...
oh, it's hard.
Agita.
But
agita.
Putting a new starter in is easy if we needed it.
It's just your money.
Jerry and I went at that car over and over and over again to try to figure out what was going on. I finally found a fuse in it. Like, we tried to get it started, didn't start, got a different car, drove out to Bill's, came back. I looked at the fuel pump fuse. It was blown. I replaced it. Still didn't work. Those little QB things that you put in, those weren't working. Turns out, so I sent it to Stuttgart. Marco had fixed one car. I sent this car to Stuttgart, and he goes, "Does this have a kill switch?" I go, no. It doesn't have a kill switch, right? Where would a kill? Where have your kill switches been, Zuckerman? And all your
I don't
cars?
Have them.
They're usually under the dash,
yes.
Right? And they're a little. Usually, they're a little flick
toggle switch.
Yeah. Where did this car come from?
Originally,
originally,
it came from Long Island.
Was this Jerry's car?
Yeah, but it was from Long Island originally. It was a Long Island car. Somehow our friend Matthew Amirati of Bridgehampton Motor Cars, he knew
East
about
Coast
this
clan.
Car. Yeah, and so...
And Jerry bought it from him.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? It has a kill switch on it. And that kill switch looks like it's exactly identical to the little switch you press when you're playing with the left mirror and the right mirror
so
to do the adjustment.
It's a little rocker switch on the dash.
And it's right next to that switch.
So you killed the car.
So I adjusted my left mirror... Hit that switch. I go, oh shit, the right mirror isn't working. I go to put the car in gear. The whole thing dies. It was a kill switch.
Look at you, a moron.
I should have figured that out. Jerry and I should have figured that out. We all should have figured it out. But cheers to Stuttgart Automotive and their mechanics.
These things.
Because they looked at it. They go, everything's fine with this car. This car's
that's
beautiful.
That's a happy accident. You got to like that. It's easy. Something you can laugh about. I got a new grill. for my BMW. Remember last week?
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
I was missing half a kidney on the front of my BMW. That was a $129 part that got delivered quickly and snapped right on.
That's great.
Yeah.
And so did the GT2 RS start? That
worked. I haven't started. You told me it started.
I'll take it out next week. I'll take it out next week. I heard from your detailer that it started, but I don't. But when I turned the key in that car, it gave me a warning sign I had never seen before that said, "Drive this for a long time." It was a weird message that said, "Battery low. Make sure you drive this hard for some weird message like that."
Charge the battery up. Yeah.
Yeah, but it said the whole thing in this disclaimer on the screen. It was really funny, but it still didn't turn over and it didn't start.
I had a Ferrari once that said, catalytic converter temperature improbable. Drive immediately to dealership.
Improbable.
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 Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you kill the starter?
No, it's totally fine. Those starters are just monsters, man. There was no problem at all.
83 was a good year
back,
for starters.
The car had been left outside by Zuckerman's guys for a couple weeks. They thought it was somebody else's car. Turns out,
can you believe that?
They didn't know it was ours.
I hadn't been at my hangar. I come, and this is probably one of our better original cars. It's our best. It's our best 80s car. Right?
Which color is it?
It's the platinum car.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and it's
seven thousand
miles is perfect, and it belongs in the garage. It's a perfect car, and I drive there, and it's outside. It's outside of the elements, and I call my detailer. What? Why is this car outside? He thought it was somebody else's car. Not that I treat somebody else's car. I don't even know where any of this.
He thought it wasn't
from.
His car. So the car was still in that condition, 2 weeks of outside in the dust and the rain, and it didn't work right. So that's also what led to it. But Steve, my detailer, down at the Santa Monica Airport, I just saw the car this morning.
It looks great.
It's gorgeous. It's got a little nick in the door, as I told you. It looks like someone. I remember when you first got this car delivered that I'm pretty sure that was there, and maybe... It was, you know, all of these low mileage original cars. And I remember my 70S, the same thing. It was delivered with no miles and it had a dent in the rear.
Yeah, after 30 or 40 years, there's going to be something.
There's some little thing, but Matt Farah has a new guy, a new artiste who's going to come by Friday. He said he can make it, bring it to about 80%.
That's perfect.
He said that's it. It's like a little screwdriver divot. You wouldn't even notice
it. This was that car you had in the garage a few months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
that thing is.
Yeah. To be parked outside next to the freeway.
Somebody.
Industrial lot next to the freeway.
Somebody walked. I was down at the hangar today hanging out with the motorcycle guys. What are those guys? Crazy auction guys that have that motorcycle, bring a trailer for motorcycles. And they were with a guy who saw both those cars in my hangar, Zuckerman, wants to just buy them both right now.
Well, there's a price for everything. There is.
The guy's
indeed.
Got money.
Hey.
Let's take some of it.
Hey. All right, we'll talk about that after. He then offered me a CB750, which I am going to buy. Vic, he's our friend down there. He's got, he fills his hangar with new, beautiful things and the best.
Don't get rid of that platinum one. You just got it.
We're not gonna.
All right.
But I said, what's going on with that CB750? It's a brown metallic, not my favorite color. I think it's a 73-74. He goes, I'll sell it to you in a couple weeks. And I go, great. You want it? You don't ride mics. This bike is beautiful, though.
I love motorcycles. I don't want to ride.
Why don't I do this? I'll buy the bike and I'll park my Triumph in your hangar so you can look at that.
That'd be great.
That would be good. You like looking at that.
That would be great.
That would be good. Let's do an ad, and then we're going to do Dear Zuckerman, which I'm excited about. I have a lot of Dear Zuckerman, so are you comfortable improvising your answers?
I can do whatever you want me to do. My whole life
now that you don't have constant pain.
My whole life is improvised, Ferriston. I'll improvise answers for you.
All right, but let's talk about Harry's. Another great sponsor that we love, Harry's. Have you looked in the mirror lately? I should. Look at my beard. Have you seen what you really look like?
I don't look in the mirror.
I try not to. I noticed that today. I was looking, avoiding seeing my own visage. Mm. I just didn't want to. It was a low self-esteem moment. It was because of the beard. I have a beard right now, and it's grown out, and it's gray, and tell you what, it doesn't look too good.
Like
so what I'm going to do tomorrow is I'm going to go get my Harry's kit. especially since it's going to be 100 degrees out, and I am going to take hair off my body, Zuckerman.
Your
at least
old
up
balls.
On the face. You head back to the office. You need to get a fresh, clean, all business look. Why don't you let Harry's help you? By the way, as I'm doing these ads, Jen, anytime you want some of this stuff, just let me know, and I'll have them send it to your house.
What would I do with a razor?
They have a Can-Am razor. Oh, well, yeah. They also have a bacterial
head.
Test for your beard. Here's your new morning routine. Shower, shave, and, well, you know, Harry's can make two out of the three easier. If you don't know Harry's, it's time you do. Harry's was created to be different from any other shaving company. Harry crafts high-quality, long-lasting blades and durable weighted handles. They do. They have heft. You know that perfect fork? This is the perfect razor, Zuckerman. I improvise that. That makes a close, comfortable shave quick. Feels good in your hands, like my pole. Shut up, Zuckerman. And because Harry insists that you shouldn't choose between a great shave and a fair price, they give you both refill blades, start as low as $2. You know, you hear what I'm saying? You're not going to get ripped off when you go down to the supermarket to try to buy those other brands. It's very easy. And new Harry's customers get their starter set, which includes a 5-blade razor. 5 blades! You know, it's like the Corvette with the 4 exhaust pipes in the back. They've got 5, weighted handle, foaming gel, aloe, and a travel cover. It's a little kit. It's all a $13 value. You're going to get it for $3. Plus, Harry's offers a whole range of amazing face and body care products for men, all delivered right to your door. What do you have to do? Where's the call to action? Here it is. Oh, this is one of those website ones. So you just, in your address line, put harrys.com/spike911, harrys.com/spike911. You'll come to our page, the Spike's Car Radio page, harrys.com/spike911. You're going to get a starter kit for just $3, 100% satisfaction guaranteed, so you got nothing to lose. Go to harrys.com/spike911 right now to get this special offer. We love you, Harry's. Great sponsors this week. Again.
Yeah.
Well, you've been asking for it. Mm. You've been demanding it.
Here it is.
You've been harassing me for it.
Play the music.
All the people who want to eat ice cream for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner. Just ice cream all the time. We don't want to eat anything else. We just want Dear Zuckerman.
Ice cream for breakfast.
Just
lunch,
make it
and
its
dinner.
Own podcast, Spike. Just Dear Zuckerman's podcast. Sure, why not? How about just a podcast where Zuckerman is just swearing? fuck.
Balls.
All right.
Two kinds of balls.
Balls and fuck my pole.
The elephant skin ones.
Yeah.
Ferrison's got the thin, translucent ones.
We're elephants.
We're elephant skins.
Did we talk about it on the show?
Oh, yes, we did.
I was wondering why I was getting those. I get a little... don't you get uncomfortable when guys are going, oh, yeah, your balls. And you're going, what? What are you? Or sending me the eggplant emoji for Blue Chew?
What is it?
I don't want that. Are you ready, Zuckerman?
Whatever.
These are real Dear Abby letters. Instead, they're going to be answered by Zuckerman.
Let's blow some smoke on him just to piss him off a little bit.
I'm already pissed.
I've never seen him so happy. He's definitely not in pain. This is great. This one is titled Pregnancy Test, Zuckerman. Dear Zuckerman, I think a friend of mine may be pregnant. We're friendly, but not BFFs. She hasn't said anything to me about it, but I can see the shape of her body changing. How terrible would it be for me to invite her over to dinner and serve ceviche, as pregnant women can't eat raw fish? If she doesn't eat it, that would be another piece of evidence. Can I, Zuckerman?
Well, how conniving and stupid you are, woman. Conniving and stupid. Why don't you offer some blow? Why don't you see if she'll take a nice big rail of blow? Oh, no, I can't. I'm pregnant. I don't want to shoot the baby out. The fuck is wrong with you that you think you're entitled to know and you're going to trick your friend by giving her shellfish to see if she will reject it because she doesn't want to miscarry? This is...
Holy shit.
Holy shit. How about, why don't you pick up the phone and just say, are you pregnant?
Is this the New York Times, this letter
this
went?
This was in the New York Times.
This is in the New York
this
Times.
This is in the New York
this
Times.
This is the crap they're printing in the New York, all the news that's fit to print.
It's like,
should I trick my pregnant friend?
Yeah, or you're so self-involved and you feel you need to know. You're not BFFs. You go through this whole thing and you just want to know. You just walk up to people, tap them. Hey, you pregnant? Hey, how much money you got in your pocket? Hey, have you pooped today? Just it's so nosy and inappropriate.
It's a woman too, right?
Yes.
A woman should know that
a woman will tell you when she feels comfortable.
Yeah, when she feels like she's not going to self-abort, right? I mean, who knows? Right, maybe she's had... Yeah, maybe she's...
The word's miscarriage.
Yeah, yeah.
Miscarriage, you know?
Right, but there's a politeness to society, right. And we all don't ask these... We never ask a woman if they're pregnant. You never ask
Never.
It. Yeah, like, and if she is, she's going to. It's going to be obvious, or she's going to tell you.
Yeah. But I've seen... women do play this game like, oh, I think she's pregnant
because
X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, what? Huh? You noticed what?
We think Lieberman. Hey, Spike, do you think Lieberman's got cancer? Let's give him some drugs and see if he turns him down.
You think he's allergic to shrimp? Let's find out. Let's serve him shrimp.
You served me shrimp.
Do you think he's got a fentanyl problem? Let's give him some pills, see what happens.
Well, this bread tastes weird. Yeah, it's got peanut butter in it. We think you might be allergic to it.
Let's see what happens.
Oh, he is allergic.
He's dying.
Terrific.
Where's the EpiPen? Anaphylactic shock. It's so funny.
Where's the EpiPen? I have an EpiPen. I have one of those things. They're hilarious. I used to get the allergy shots, as you know, because I remember I was always clearing my throat in that other studio. And then at some point, because of greedy personal injury lawyers, they said everybody in the office has to get an EpiPen. One of these electronic adrenaline things, is that what's in it?
Yeah. I don't know if it's greedy PI lawyers, but just so we
should. But the worst thing that happens to me is my eyes itch and I get to clear my throat. I'm not going to stab myself because you got to get it and you got to train yourself on it. And they're cool, Sarkar. They're like half an iPhone and you open it up and it goes, inject self in 5 seconds, hit. And it tells you to like hit it into your, and I'm dying to use it. I'm dying to use it.
You'll be dying.
What would happen if I just hit myself with it tonight for my birthday?
Nothing.
I don't have the blue chew. Can I use that?
Right into your dork.
Dork. Oh, my God. All right, let's do another Dear Zuckerman.
Let's do another one.
This is Care for an Egg. Is this a good one?
Yes, wonderful.
Okay. Dear Zuckerman, my mom and sister are helping me move to college. The car will be packed, so it's a tight squeeze for the three of us. My sister insists on bringing hard-boiled eggs for a snack on the road. But the hard-boiled eggs smell awful to me and tend to make me nauseated. Proper usage of nauseated. Yes. Usually people say nauseous. They say nauseated. I asked her to bring something else, but she won't budge. She wants to bring the eggs on the road trip. Zuckerman, do you have any ideas? Mauve is the girl's name.
Well, okay, first of all, this is not about eggs. This is a proxy fight for everything that's happened in the past 18 or 20 years between you and your sister, and now you've decided to battle over eggs. And I think that you just have to one-up her and maybe take a dump in the car while she does that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, something very smelly. I just think, yes, it's rude to bring hard-boiled eggs into a car. I'm going to agree with the writer for once, but I don't believe that this is something you write to a paper about.
You snatch
the fucking eggs out of her hand and throw them out the window.
By the way, when are you leaving? Didn't college already start?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to send it in the mail to the New York Times?
Yeah.
Ten years later, you get a response about your eggs? That's what's really going on here. She's trying to shame her by holding up the New York Times response. And the Dear Zuckerman
game in the New York Times over stupid egg stuff.
But here's what you do with smelly food. At some point, you stop and they have to take a bathroom break and you throw that stuff right in the garbage and then you don't know what happened to it. That's what you say. I don't know what happened.
You pretend.
Someone must have taken it.
That's what you do. And this is another thing. You're at a party. You're going to be in college and there's going to be someone's offering you cocaine. And when they go to the bathroom, you take their 8-ball, you put it in their pocket, and you help them look for it later. Say, I don't know what happened. And you have it all for yourself. Right, Ferrison?
What does that have to do with eggs?
Nothing.
I was going to say, real quick, eggs don't smell that bad.
Like, oh, my God. For you, they're horrible.
For you. What's wrong with eggs?
Every time we cook eggs, but a hard-boiled egg, when you open it up in a car, is awful.
It smells like being on the plane.
It smells like open sewer. It's bad. It's terrible.
Look at this guy shrugging.
Yeah,
I don't mind that smell, Ferrison. Yeah, open sewer smell.
You honestly don't know that smell.
I mean, you peel the eggs before you get in the car and you put them in a Ziploc
bag.
But
the second you take a bite and you open them up, egg smell.
Them whole.
It's even when you get a gas leak, it'll say a sulfury egg smell.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
By the way, that not everybody...
He's a smelly food violator. Well, do you eat smelly food on planes?
I eat whatever's on the plane.
No,
yeah, but you
bring
don't bring
on the
smelly
plane.
Food.
You probably bring
I've never
rotten
brought
sushi.
Food on a plane in my life.
He brings gas station sushi on the plane, 2 or 3 day old.
He brings a lot of food off the plane in his beard is what he does.
But I'll tell you, you raise an interesting point, something that I learned this week. The rotten egg smell in gas is an additive.
It's an additive, right.
It's an additive. And not everybody has the olfactory receptors to smell that additive in gas. It's not 100%. And so he's one of these guys.
He's one of them.
He's
a
one
mutant.
Of them. The gas could be leaking into his house, and he could just turn the stove on and explode.
Johnny can't smell eggs, Lieberman.
Yes.
I can smell eggs. I don't think it's that bad of a
Johnny
smell.
Rotten Eggs Lieberman. Johnny Rotten Eggs.
Yeah, all right.
Hey,
all
Johnny, right. I just took a shit right in your pants. You can't tell, can you?
How did you take a shit in my pants?
What are you guys talking about? I apologize for the profanity in this birthday podcast. All right, let's do one more. Oh, jeez. This one is called The Pitfalls of Grief. Zuckerman, you always pick out when old people die. It seems to be one of your favorite hobbies is attacking women and making fun of old men that die. And I, by the way, I am like you now noticing it is fun to go old man spotting out in the world. They sit and have a cup of coffee and point out other old men that look funny and their funny outfits and come up with dialogue for them. Hey, look at me. I'm cool old man guy, especially here in California. We get lots of old guys trying to be cool. Here we go. The Pitfalls of Grieving Online. Dear Zuckerman, I am a part-time music influencer with several hundred followers on Spotify. Okay, hold on.
that's very part-time.
You don't even have to. So keep reading. I mean, this is the whole thing.
I'm a part-time music influencer?
I mean, he's very part-time with
but
several hundred.
But that all it takes is several hundred followers? Anyway.
Well, you tripped over the speed bump in the proposition here.
All right, let me finish it. I'll be fair. I am a part-time music influencer with several hundred followers on Spotify. My grandfather died recently in a freak accident. This is the New York
Times. Somebody shit his pants.
We're all in shock. Understandably, I was very close with him, and I am grief-stricken. To help myself cope... By the way, the nauseated, that's the New York Times style page, stylist, right? They changed it from nauseous to nauseous. Yeah. Okay, forget it. I was very close to him, and I'm grief-stricken. To help myself cope, I just inhaled my cigar. I made a playlist of songs about loss and grief. Stupidly, I made this playlist public with my usual custom cover art and a Gen Z-friendly song description. Now I'm worried it looks like I'm trying to profit off my loss to gain likes and followers. I loved my grandfather, and I hate to think I'm being disrespectful. Signed, granddaughter.
Is this really what you're thinking about? Is this, you have several hundred followers? No one gives a fuck, okay?
Oh, just, my God.
This, you know, 300 people? Just leave it out there. Leave it out there. It was what you were feeling.
By the way.
What's more authentic than what you're really feeling?
She is. Let's be honest with social media, all right? Whenever something happens to you, the first thing we all think of, and we're all guilty of this, is should I put this on the... And you make a decision, right? You guys, vibrant...
Everyone I know has died in the last year. Yeah, trust me.
Yeah, but you all go, and it becomes a question of sharing. I feel like I share a lot with everybody, my followers. Maybe I'll share this, or maybe I won't, or maybe it will look. But at the end of the day, it's clearly what you're doing. She is trying to... You know, feed her social media following on Spotify with her grandfather's death. And she's also trying to express herself artistically. And she's wondering if it's okay.
It's not a big deal. You know, this is very well-considered advice, Ferris. And yeah, when it comes to social media, people really, you don't really know when you're sharing too much. It happens a lot. You really got to think about what you're going to share.
Yeah, you do. All right.
And whatever. Move on, girl. Don't worry about
I've got one more here. I'm just going to throw it at you. Since that was kind of a downer. This one was sent in by a listener. It was funny. It's just sad, too. Grandpa's dead. Dear Zuckerman. Dear Zuckerman, I'm worried about Grandpa. Who is 96. Ever since Grandma died 2 years ago, Gramps has been acting like a playboy. Granted, he works out every day and looks like he's only 70, lives independently in his own home, and still drives a cool car. However, Grandpa chases around with women half his age, spending money like it's water, going to social events, and sometimes having a cocktail! Exclamation point. Zuckerman, how can I get Grandpa to behave himself, keep those gold diggers away, and stop spending my inheritance? I've tried talking to him. He says it's his life, he practices safe sex, and to my mind, for me to mind my own business, since it's my inheritance he's wasting, I think it is my business! Exclamation point. What do you think about this, Zuckerman? Worried
he shouldn't
grandson.
Leave her a fucking penny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worried she, grandson in Glendale. Oh, wait. P.S. I'm worried his new lifestyle will kill him.
Oh, he's 96. Statistically, he's been dead for 20 years already. I mean, let the guy be. It's not your inheritance. Yeah, it's his. Called his money.
Wouldn't it go to the parents?
Whatever. Right? Yeah, it's grandpa's money. It's not his. It's not his. Don't. God, let your grandpa enjoy it.
So he's 96. He's still getting laid.
Yeah, let
I mean,
him be. How
God
is
bless.
This run
That's
go?
Amazing. Yeah, this guy needs to be celebrated. Yeah.
His grandson should give him some money. Here, grandpa, go out and get laid.
No, I know, Zuckerman.
Get one of these.
Because it was my birthday, you sent me my favorite picture. It's been my favorite picture for a long time. It's the old guy with Anna Nicole Smith
Howard
on his
Marshall lap. Marshall III.
Yes, and you said, this is you and Erica, and I showed her, and she was flattered by it. She goes, yes, that is you, and that is me. But I really admire that guy, and I think as a guy, and I know this is a very male-oriented statement, but I'm a guy, and I think Zuckerman, we're all guys. Like, if you're 96 and you're still sexually active and your wife died and it's 2 years later,
if you can sleep,
this is it. You got one shot. You got one shot, guys, and then you're done.
If you're
dead
going
forever.
Out with women half your age and you're managing to give it to them,
what does that mean? But they're 75, right?
Right. But
he's dating Jane Fonda.
Have
this guy, we got to have this guy on the podcast.
I want, if anybody knows who this 96-year-old guy is,
get him here.
We want to take him out to dinner. We want to take him to a massage parlor. We'll help get him up onto the table.
Well,
we want him to have fun.
I've got good news for you. He lives in Glendale. This letter came from
where
Glendale.
I live, yeah.
I'll
go hang out. Let's.
Let's see.
Yeah, and
leave
and
him in. Find the horny old goat for us and bring him in.
Yeah, I'm done.
I admire that guy.
I mean, yeah this
grandson's a weenie.
My inheritance? What a shitty.
I know. Shameless. Shameful.
Well, we're all self-made men, right? There are people out there who come from very wealthy families where this is a real concern of theirs. I don't know your parents, but I know our parents and who they were, and you know, we get a bill when they die. We don't.
Oh, yeah.
We don't.
My inheritance was a manila envelope.
Yeah,
I got
right.
opened up the manila envelope, and you know what was in there? My father's discharge papers from World War II. There was an uncashed check from 1967 for $25.
Wow, that's cool.
And there was some, there were some other really irrelevant items in there, and that was the sum and substance of my inheritance.
But if my mom, and by the way, I don't mean to say my mom's a deadbeat. She actually worked her whole life and saved her money. She did well, but it's not a lot of money. She's a blue collar. She was a nurse. But if my mom, in her 80s right now, and I know she listens to the show, Mom, if you finally let Dad go, he did die in 2009 and started dating some swinging old man, I'd be so happy for you that you're enjoying life. Just make sure he's loaded, and when he goes that you get the cash, and then I can write the letter about the inheritance.
My mom had a little bit of scratch, and then she got really sick for about, I don't know, 6 years, and it cost us like... literally like all of it to, you know, keep her at house. And she had 24-hour care for 5 years, 6 years.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, $100,000 a year cash. And we didn't think about it, you know.
Why would you think about it?
It was like, thank
Please
God the money's
to the listeners,
there.
If anyone knows who this 90-year-old
you know how many people are going to go, here he is.
Yeah.
They just want to get on the show.
And I want his secrets. Tell
Hefner
me.
Don't you worry, Zuckerman, about being the problem dad? You know, now that we're getting up in age, we're not there yet, but maybe in 30, 40 years, are you worried you'll be the problem, Dad?
I can only hope that I'm still able to perform in my 90s, that I still have the desire
That's
to go.
That's not what I mean. I mean, are you, that your kids are like,
dad.
Oh my God, my dad. My dad is such a liability.
I think I already am. Listen to what we just talked about. Listen to the things we said tonight.
They don't listen to the podcast.
Yeah, I think they do.
My family does not. The only person that I know in my family, I think, that listens is my mom occasionally. And she called the other day. and said she doesn't like it when we make fun of my dad, Fats.
You mean the hummingbird?
Yeah, yeah. She believes my dad is reincarnated as a hummingbird. So when she comes out to visit, there's a hummingbird that lives in the front yard. And she goes, "There he is." And my kids go, your dad is a hummingbird? And I had to explain to them.
That's actually weird. My mom used to think, not my dad specifically, but like when she got really into birds after my dad died. Yeah. She'd sit in the backyard and look at birds. And she
my
was
mother
like,
got into bird watching. This is a weird thing.
I've been into bird watching since I was in the fifth grade.
But she'd
like
birds. Oh, that's like grand. That's my mom. Or that's so-and-so. Yeah. And they're the bird. They visit me.
They have magical thinking about things.
Oh, this is the female captain's hat, huh?
Maybe.
We talk about when you the captain's hat. You as a man, you get the captain's hat in the last final act of your life when you start thinking the captain's hat is cool.
Yeah,
you
got I started noticing like old men were wearing the captain's hat, and I said, "Jerry, have you ever seen that?" He goes, "Yeah, I see that." And he goes, "I think they're preparing for the voyage to beyond," and that made sense. And then right before my dad died, he got a captain's hat. He did. And I was like, "God, there it is." There's the sign. There's also one of the Seinfeld writers, Andy Robin, has a death grumpiness theory that two weeks before anybody dies, they get really grumpy. And so be on the lookout for death grumpiness, like sustained death grumpiness.
And I'll tell you, that death grumpiness changes in the last day when they finally let go. Then they're not grumpy. Oh, you think he's better? No, he's just about to die. He's going to be dead in 12 hours.
Anyway, my mom likes the show. She thought... Big surprise.
I'll tell your mother. Your mom I'll try to restrain myself about it.
She goes, "You use a lot of foul language, Michael, but you and your friends, you seem to have a good sense of what's right and wrong, and that I'm proud of that." What, even Zuckerman? Are you kidding me?
He's a good boy for the show, the Zuckerman.
I have a good sense of right and wrong.
As soon as the mic is off.
You do. You say a lot, but you do, Zuckerman. You know you do. You wouldn't be our friend if you didn't. Anyway. I think that's our show.
Happy birthday, Ferriston.
Thank you.
We love you. We hate you. Happy birthday.
Yeah, you old bastard.
I am so happy that I did this, that we did a show today. It's the best part of my day, hanging out with all of you guys. And we do the show because we love it. And what else was I going to say? I think that's it.
That's it.
That's all we have. We'll see you next week on Spike's Car Radio.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.